Blog Talk Radio.
Let's go. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the War Room. You got Dev, Jill, Jimmy, PJ, and B. Austin, the Hot Rock Commander.
Give it to you how you want it in the 1 to 2 hour show to keep the brain running with the premise to talk sports on a national level. Bold with them topics. Like the rebels when it's game time, they like the Fab Five show on prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. From sports medicine to sports veterans and greats, the 4 for 26 so the world in Kuwait. It's the War Room with 5 nights at the round table. 5 Philly guys diversified and educated.
What up? What up, good people? It's Thursday, and you are once again live in the War Room. I'm your host, Devin McMillan, and alongside me is Paul Johnson, James Williams, Akil Bayon, and B. Austin. Tonight, we're going to talk some NFL playoffs, some NBA action, and much, much more. Then later in hour number two, we're going to discuss our Listener's Choice segment, and we're going to do a segment on mental health in sports and its effect on athletes on and off the field. And as usual, we want to hear from you guys tonight, so when we open up the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline, call in and holler at us. That number is 323-410-0012. But before we get into the birthdays, I want to give a quick shout-out to Roy and Chris over at the Broad Street Line. You can hear their show on Block Talk Radio every Wednesday at 6 p.m. You can follow them on Facebook. That's facebook.com/TheBSLine. And you can follow them on Twitter at TheBSLine. So right now, it's birthday time.
My birthday, yay!
All right, fellas, y'all ready? Get into these birthdays.
You know it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Our first birthday today is one Mr. Oswaldo Jose Guillen Berrios. Y'all might know him as Ozzy Guillen, 47. Jimmy, what do you think of when you hear the name Ozzy Guillen?
Yo, I think of a fiery dude who speaks his mind. He's a great manager, in my opinion. But I like the dude because he's always good for a nice little soundbite.
Fiery dude. You know that's one of the words in my
I know.
Kill, Ozzy Guillen.
Yo, it's funny. Like, a lot of most people think about him as a manager, but I remember him actually as a player when I used to collect baseball cards. And he got he got the American League Rookie of the Year, at least by the Sporting News, in 1985, and he was a pretty good player. But now he's, like, becoming more famous as a manager. I mean, they won the World Series, and he's, like, he's willing to say anything on tape.
Yo, dude will say anything. Ozzy's not afraid of anybody. B. Austin, Ozzy Guillen.
Yo, shout out to Ozzy. He's, like, kind of a hero of mine, even though I don't really mess with baseball like that. It's more so because, yo, I can remember having his card as a youngster, and, like, he's like me. Like, he'll say anything. Like, it don't matter what they ask him. Yo, he'll just, yo, first curse word to come to mind that's coming out, he don't apologize. He just says it.
Yeah, and he turned 47 today. So the second birthday today is Ron Harper. He's 47 years old today.
Yay!
Ron Harper.
Yo, actually, I think of the great math teacher at Central and former Central and college basketball player Havlin Harper. Shout out to him.
Shout out to Havlin.
His daughter Laura Harper plays in WNBA. So that's what I think of when I think of Ron Harper.
I think of that too, because Mr. Harper used to always deny that was his brother, and they look exactly alike.
I'm
trying to look up their background to see if I can link it somehow.
Yo,
and by
also,
the way,
I
requested Mr. Harper on Facebook today. He better not.
Okay.
I ain't going to say nothing.
Yo, when I think of Ron Harper, though, I think of how people only remember him playing for the Bulls. And before he came to the Bulls, Ron Harper used to put in work. When he played for the Cavs, yo, Ron Harper had a major game.
You remember back then, he was one of the very first dudes that they were, you know, were saying was going to be the next Michael Jordan.
Yo, he had game.
Mike hadn't even fully established himself by then, but he was already getting comparisons to Mike. He got in the league.
Yeah. Yeah, and also how he played point guard at like 6'12".
And he also already he already expressed how he didn't really know how to speak English too well.
I won't say something about Ron Harper.
Hey, yo, he used to use that as motivation to work on his game so he could start banging on people and busting their ascots.
Because he was tired of them messing with him. All right, so
yeah.
The next birthday today is one Mr.
Yay!
Ray Caruth, 37 years old. Be off with the first thing you think of when you think of Ray Caruth.
Why'd you ask me this question?
You filthy, murdering filth. That's all.
Yeah, it was stupid, man. Jimmy, what do you think of when you think of Ray Caruth?
Yo, honestly, I think of Steve Harvey from the Kings of Comedy.
Kings
when he
of
was
comedy.
Roasting him, yo. Yeah, yo, but why my man was hiding in the trunk though, yo.
Yeah, dude gonna spend the rest of his days in the pokey, getting pokey. Kill.
Yo, that's just a sad story. And then they actually the son was actually, even though the mom died, his son was born, and his son has like cerebral palsy now, and his son actually goes to see him in jail every now and then now.
Wow.
Like her mom,
I didn't know that.
Her mom wants him to have a relationship with his dad, and
her mom is special.
Yeah, I was about
wow.
to say, I might want to keep her away from that dude. All right, so our last birthday of the day, I think pretty much we're all a fan of this dude. One Mr. Jalen Rose, Mr. Fab Five himself, 38 years old today.
Yay!
Jimmy, what do you think of when you think of Jalen Rose?
Yo, I think of a teleprompter because every time I see him on ESPN, the boy talk like he's reading from a teleprompter. Yo, but I actually like him as an analyst, no rainbow. Like, but you can tell he's reading from a teleprompter. He's like, LeBron James. Like, what is that?
Yeah, we're going to try to get Jalen on the show one day. B. Austin, what do you think of when you think of Jalen?
Yo, I was a huge Fab Five fan, and I didn't really mess with the rest of them except for Ugly Ray. And, yo, Jalen Rose is my favorite member of the Fab Five, and yo, Jalen was my man, Pause.
Yeah,
I
they got to do a Where Are They Now on Ray Jackson and Jimmy King. Kill probably know where they
are.
Yo,
Jalen,
we talked about this.
Jalen Rose, he was. I think he's kind of like underrated on his abilities. I mean, he lost a year in Indiana where Larry Brown just sat him on the bench for no reason. Then when Larry Brown came, he started putting up like 25 and 5. I mean, he could play 1, 2, and 3. I mean, I remember I was hyped when he was at Michigan with the Fab Five at 6'8".
And he gave MJ work.
Yeah, and he gave MJ some work in the playoffs, the 98 playoffs. But I was like, yo, I like homie 6'8", running the point. And of course you had Magic, but he just showed how versatile you could be as a basketball player. Oh, and in Phoenix, I was upset at D'Antoni for when he went to Phoenix in his last year for not playing him. He just sat him on a bench and didn't play him.
He wasted him. Jalen also absorbed a lot of that 81 Kobe gave out, too. But I'm still a Jalen fan, so that's our birthday for the day.
Yay!
Yo, Kobe 81'd him in the submission because now every time he sees Kobe, he supplicates to him.
Suffocate, yo. Hey, yo, I got another thing. People don't realize this, but he played in high school with Vashawn Leonard and Howard Eisley on the same high school team.
Nice.
Vashawn Leonard's a bum. So, Jimmy, let everybody know what happened while they were on the ground.
Yes, sir. The first thing I want to talk about with you guys is Carmelo. Where would Melo go? Well, you know the Nets owner came out and said the deal was off the table and nobody really believes him. But I just want to get you guys' quick opinion on the Carmelo situation and everything going on with that. Where do you guys think he'll land, or do you think he'll be moved at all? Dev, what's your opinion?
I was thinking kind of like what you just said. When Mikhail Prokhorov first came out and made the statement, you know, like B. Austin told somebody on Facebook, I thought he was kind of posturing, you know, just saying that the deal was done probably just so they can get some privacy in doing the deal. But I really don't understand why the Nets are such a player in this anyway, because he hasn't expressed any interest in re-signing with the Nets. So it would be a waste to rent him for a half a season for a team that's nowhere near the finals, you know?
Yeah, yeah, I totally agree with that. B. Austin, what's your
Chicago
situation?
Play now.
Yo, you mean to tell me that our undercover correspondent, Cameron Giles, a.k.a. Jay Vaughn, didn't get the scoop right? Because he said it was a done deal. He was in the room.
Well, yeah, well, he said New York, though.
I guess you could say, you know.
I thought he said the Nets.
Oh, did he? Okay, okay.
Yeah,
I thought he said
it, but it's not over yet. So, you know, the jump off might be right.
Let's see what Dr. Bayon got to say about this. Dr. Bayon.
It's funny because I actually think that, well, nobody really knows this guy, Prokhorov, and how he acts. Like, okay, he might be telling the truth, and you might be like, you know what, forget it, let's move on.
Yeah,
or it might
be
a cover-up. But we'll see when it all shakes down if the truth comes out.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, who knows? But I know at some point Denver has to make a move. They don't want to end up with nothing. You know,
yeah,
sort of like.
Because, I mean, best case scenario for Carmelo and the Knicks is that all of this keeps going on and they miss the trade deadline. Then the Knicks know they're going to get him for free. I mean, you know, it's not going to be free for them, but, you know, they're not going to have to give up people that they
taking,
don't give up.
He's taking a risk as well because the new collective bargain agreement can come out and he could lose some nice amount of bread like playing this game.
Yeah.
Anyway, let's move on to the next story. I want to get you guys' opinion on this. I don't know whether you heard about it, but $200 Super Bowl tickets. Okay, they're selling, I know Dr. Bayon has an opinion on this. They're selling $200 Super Bowl tickets to sit on the east side of the stadium, and they're calling it Party Plaza, to watch the game outdoors on a screen. What's your guys' opinion? Is would you do it? Let's start with you, Dr. Bayon, because you're in the area.
Heck no, I wouldn't do that. For $200, are you kidding me? And, like, we're going to the restroom. I guess they're going to have some porta potties out there. Where are you going to buy food at? I guess they'll have a grill out there, maybe. And I heard they're giving out commemorative scarves because it's going to be cold. Today, it was 35 degrees in Dallas. Like, on the way home from work, it was 35 degrees. And
wow,
you know, so it might be like 35 next week because it'll be February. I mean, 2 weeks from now, so people won't be freezing their gluteus maximuses off out there. And
yeah,
watch your you can be at home. You know what I'm saying?
Yo, I
think Dad, what's your thinking on this?
I think it's stupid. I think it's another way for the NFL to try to make money that they're going to make because people want to get there. They want to get their little commemorative program, their commemorative scarf, and say they were at the Super Bowl. But I've been down to the new Cowboys Stadium, and outside in the little party plaza, it's a live area. You know, they have a live DJ, and they have a bunch of screens, but you just want to do that pregame. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to, you know, when the game starts, you want to go inside. Even if you have the standing room only tickets, you want to go in and stand where you can see the field at least. Nobody wants to sit outside of the Super Bowl. Well, I'm not going to say no.
Yeah, B. Austin, what you think?
They're going to sell them out.
First of all, I'm a grown damn man. I ain't standing outside nobody's stadium watching nothing on TV for $20, let alone $200. Number two, I think that they did it for the Cowboys. And I think that the Cowboys team is going to have to pay that $200 to watch
it.
hey, Jimmy, another thing about it is because they're offering them to Cowboys ticket holders, you know, like club-level owners. I actually know some people who have those tickets, those season tickets, and you have to buy them in increments of four. So that's $800 minimum that you got
to
spend.
To watch TV. That's an expensive movie ticket.
Four, like. And they're going to make
the
money.
That's crazy. Me personally, I ain't going. I mean, I can sit in the crib, you know what I'm saying? And $200? Yeah, right. Anyway, another question I want to talk to you guys. Yeah, pretty much. Funds on hold to you, Dallas, and the NFL. ESPN struck a deal with the University of Texas to establish a network that's going to show sports as well as original programming, and they're going to have like a little side piece that has different internet content as well. I want to know what you guys' opinion is of this, like ESPN striking a deal with a university.
Oh,
I mean, there's a lot of things that come to mind to me personally, but
wasn't this like a 20-year, $300 million deal or something like that?
That's exactly what it was.
Yo, this is another way for them to further exploit these players and not pay them any money. So now you're going to have their own network where these guys' faces are going to be on TV
all the time, but when they get a hoagie from somebody from Subway, they're going to get suspended. Come on.
Yeah.
Fun's on hold.
Yeah. That's crazy. Austin, what's your opinion on this?
Well, what I was thinking is that, yeah, University of Texas could have hit us up, warroomsportstv.com, and we would have done the channel for a third of the cost. I mean, 20 years, 100 mil, and we could have got it done. So I think they got a bad deal.
Hey, B.S., yeah. they should have came to the wax. Could have done it much better.
Dr. Bayon, what's your opinion on this whole deal between the University of Texas and ESPN?
Straight cash, homie.
Straight cash.
And...
Word. Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. Like, the whole deal is crazy to me. Like, I thought the same thing that Dev thought, where I'm like, okay, this is going to be more reasons for these athletes to violate the so-called rules. You want to put a network up showing nothing. I mean, it's not like they want to have their cameras in the classroom watching the teachers teach. This is ridiculous.
Right.
I mean, you know.
Jimmy, hey, now that they know that they're going to be on TV all the time, everybody got to get their jewelry straight, their earrings up, and where are they going to get that money from? From boosters and
yeah.
Agents, man. You got to look good when you're on TV.
Yeah, I mean, that's crazy. Yeah, it's pretty much, that's crazy. That's just crazy. Anyway, last story I want to talk about is get you guys' opinion of this. Andre Agassi just got picked to go into the Tennis Hall of Fame. Now, me personally, when I think of Andre Agassi, I think of the Sneaks because the Sneaks was hot. But what's your guys' opinion on Andre Agassi overall? I mean, he's now being selected to go to the Hall of Fame, and he was quoted as saying that basically he owes his entire life to tennis. He met his wife, Steffi Graf, through tennis, and now everything he has is due to tennis. So what's your guys' opinion on Andre Agassi? B. Austin.
I recently heard a story about Andre, well, basically his life story. He's he's kind of from the hood, and he went to these tennis camps with these rich people, and he used to hustle them just playing tennis to get back home. He didn't even love tennis.
Wow.
He was just a prodigy. So to see him make it this far.
That was a hot story.
To see him make it this far, man, bully and kudos to him making it through drug addiction and all the s'mores and all that. Yeah, good for him. I'm happy.
Yeah, he definitely deserves it. And like Jimmy said, his sneakers should go in the Hall of Fame right along with him.
Should they?
Definitely got to. The Agassiz was crazy.
I rock them Jones to this day.
I know. Those are the type of Jones, man. You try to keep them joints clean. You ain't want nobody touching your Agassiz.
Dr. Bayon, what's your thoughts?
Yo, he's my favorite tennis player of all time, and you know how they re-retro all these other kicks? They need to re-retro his kicks.
Yes, sir. All
right. Yeah, I heard that. Anyway, that's what happened today while you guys were on the ground.
All right. It's time to pass that rock. You know what?
Yeah.
I should be listening every week now, so I'm not even explaining past the rock. We're just going to get right into it this week. So I'm going to go ahead and, since I'm the point guard, I'm going to bring the ball up. Something happening with my computer right now, but I'm going to go ahead and tell
you. All right,
I'm going to continue with the War Room's recent theme of sports becoming entirely too soft. Another example of this phenomenon is occurring right before our eyes this week as two of the toughest, nastiest, hardest-hitting, smash-mouth football teams prepare to face each other in the AFC Championship game. But if you listen to all the interviews, you would think that they were courting each other in preparation for the senior prom on Sunday rather than a knockdown, drag-out, slow-measuring contest for the right to play in the Super Bowl. I have no problem with teams respecting opponents who deserve respect. And I don't think teams need to talk trash at every given opportunity. But they also do not need to take every opportunity to tell the world how sexy they think the other team is. It's getting sickening. Enough already with the courtship and just smash already. I'm done, man.
You are gay.
And with that, I'm going to pass the rock on the right wing to my man Akil Bayon waiting at half court.
Oh, man, yeah, man. The days of trash talk seem to be dying. All right, now, good evening, War Room family. I just wanted to take a little of your time to give a shout-out to the New Jersey Nets owner, 6'8 Russian billionaire Mikhail Prokhorov.
I must break you.
Now, yesterday, Prokhorov decided to end the possible trade talks with the Denver Nuggets for the acquisition of the Denver Nuggets, Carmelo Anthony. He basically said it's taking too long and the price is too expensive and he prefers to be patient. So in essence, he said regarding the deal,
if he dies.
Now, after the recruitment of LeBron James, before LeBron even made the decision, Prokhorov said that James, Bosch, and Wade will play in Miami together and that LeBron may win two or three titles in Miami, but it would diminish his brand since he would be on a super team. Now, moving on to Carmelo Anthony. I'm getting tired of all the Carmelo is going here, going there talk since the beginning of the season. We're already almost in February now. Just finish the season, handle your business in the summer, fam. He also better watch what he wishes for. There are plenty of stories of athletes leaving one place because they think the grass is greener in another place, only for it not to work out, a la Stephon Marbury, who died to go back home to New York, and it just became a big disaster. Now, if Melo goes to the Knicks, I'm not sure that they will be better than the Nuggets right now or in the past few years, and D'Antoni has yet to prove that his style of play can be successful in the playoffs. Maybe Melo wants to go there because he knows D'Antoni won't get on his case about not playing consistent defense because, you know, they just run a gun. Now, a few weeks ago, Melo goes on Twitter talking about first they love you, then they hate you, yada, yada, yada. Come on, fam. What do you expect when you are basically taking this whole season to tell the fans in Denver to go kick rocks and play in traffic? Now, imagine this. You have a girlfriend, and you tell her that you're going to leave her for someone else sometime this year. But in the meantime, we will stay together until I find someone else. How would you feel? And with that, I will shot fake, pass fake, jab step, and throw a left-hand bounce pass to be Austin, the hot block commander.
Yo, fam, that's crazy that media has gotten to a point now where they're recording Mellow Man Ace's every thought, not his comment, but every thought about this whole deal. We'll see where it ends up. I liked him, Rip, and Chauncey to the Nets, but, you know, who am I? War Room World, War Room fans, Lemmings, protectionists, how are you this evening? One of my favorite action stars and least favorite teabaggers, tea partiers, no, I really meant neoconservatives, Arnold Governator Schwarzenegger, coined the quaint phrase, girly man. And we at the War Room Sports World have elevated that to princess boy, borrowing that term from recent viral media fame. It has come to be synonymous with weakness, lack of heart, cowardice, soft as Q-tip cotton, and downright offensively sweet buttercupishness. This week, Christina Bosch, a.k.a. Avatar, a.k.a. So What? I am the world's first non-famous star. The starting unpowerful forward for the Miami Penguins, lukewarms, is our latest example of how saccharine-like, sugary, glittery Tyler Perry soft hatred of what you do and who you are can and does rear its head in pro sports. Bosch had to leave the game against the Bulls after he turned his ankle when Bulls center Omer Asik, the Turkish enforcer, fell on him. In a post-game interview prior to putting on his skirt, makeup, and Lee Pressler nails, he said, come on, that is how guys get hurt. That is how serious injuries happen. You've got to watch people's legs. I know guys want to hustle and work hard and everything, but we all want to play and provide for our families and have a job. Fam, if you have a season-ending or career-ending injury right now, your family is paid for, homie. But anyway, I digress. We all want to be healthy, and that is very important. If it is by someone's legs, don't dive for the ball. It's too close. Yeah? Huh?
you're too close, you might touch me on the basketball court? Okay. So the once long ago great Shaquille O'Neal should consider the bench and cameraman before he pursues an errant rebound. Dennis Rodman should have considered his fellow men and opponents when rebounding with coochie cutter shorts on. MJ should have been polite instead of shattering dreams. All right. So what do we know, folks? What do we know about the unpowerful forward for the Miami Lukewarms? Well, I don't know how his voice sounds, but if I did, I think it would go something like this. Don't cut back door too hard. Christina Bosch might hurt her neck or something else. Number two, if you want that board, don't box Bosch out and get her all sweaty. Just ask. I'll let you have the rebound. Or three, prior to the game, opposing teams, if you want to have a big statistical night, let's just talk about it in pregame. I'm sure that we can work something out to get you guys 25-12-8-3. FOH. I guess, you know, I would have Christina Bosch on the show, but...
That you can win this fight?
Are you talking out of turn?
No, I think we're all talking together.
I normally don't do interviews with women unless I fornicate with them.
With that, I go around the back, and I pass the rock to the great PJ.
Wow, man, I don't even know where to start on that one, B. Austin. Christina Bosch, man, she might have to use tampons every week. I mean, every month. I don't even know. But I want to transition to this past Sunday's Jets Patriots game. Something that I noticed on Sunday night at the tail end of Sean Green's culminating touchdown run, as the Jets put the proverbial nail in the Patriots' coffin, we saw the stout Rex Ryan break into a 40-yard dash at the speed of a crippled tortoise, rumbling down the sideline, tangling up wires, shattering headsets, trampling photographers and opposing players, kicking divots into the turf with a choppy gait as if he was wearing Brogan boots two sizes too small, with a foot full of corns, bunions, stubby toes, all in the name of celebration. Now, I'm not a proponent of the smack talk and banter preceding a football game like Rex Ryan has become notorious for, but I must admit, I love to see a coach that isn't ashamed to instinctively embark in a childlike celebration with his players, just like one of the guys. When I first noticed Rex Ryan breaking for the end zone, I said, there's got to be like a 10-foot replica of his wife's foot prancing around, all lathered and greased up in barbecue sauce. They're down there by the goalpost, man. But then I thought, wait a minute. That's Buddy Ryan Jr. The apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. Talk smack, kick ass, take names, have fun. And if you can manufacture a few notable wins in the process, all is forgiven. And with that, I do a... What I'm going to do with it, y'all? I got the double team on me. I don't know what I do. Should I shoot it or am I passing out of this joint?
Jimmy, open. I got it, good brother. I'm wide open. All right,
I'm going to throw it out of the double to my man Jimmy. Bounce pass light.
Yo, we watched that game, and I was in tears. We all laughed like, yo, what's up with the ball, man? But, you know, shout out to Buddy Ryan because he was a lot of fun when he was around. You know what I mean? Anyway, what's up, War Room World? This is Jimmy, a.k.a. King Jimmy Joe Fur. And this week, I want to say a few words to LeBron James, or as we call him in the War Room, LeBron Ramon James. Now, I want to start by saying that LeBron is one of the most talented players I've ever seen play the game of basketball. He gets to the bucket whenever he wants and also has the ability to make his teammates better. But with that being said, I've also seen games where he quit on his team, especially when there were rumors of Delonte giving his mom, you know, some business with her Uchiwali. Look, I'm not going to speak on the decision and how egotistical and ridiculous that was, or criticize his decision to go to Miami. Look, it's a free country. I believe you have the right to play for whomever you want. But with that being said, my main problem is with LeBron constantly running his mouth in the media and making himself look just like a Richard head. I mean, he's made comments about playing too many minutes or how he refuses to change his game.
Then he sent out a tweet about karma. He sent out a tweet about karma when his former team got the brakes beat off them by the Lakers. But I guess he was right, considering after those comments, his team went on their worst losing streak of the season, and two out of the three Heatles had to sit out the game with injuries. Listen, not only did they start losing, but himself and the aforementioned Christina Bosch had to, you know, miss a couple games. My question to LeBron is, who is your publicist? Where is your management when you say these idiotic statements? I guess they're busy making PowerPoint presentations trying to get sponsors for your birthday party. You know what? You'd be better off being represented by Tasha Mack Management than whoever you currently have handling your affairs. My advice is, shut your damn mouth and focus on hoops. As good as you are on the court, it appears that doesn't translate well off the court. But he still has time to change. If he focuses on hoops and starts to win championships, then he can change his career and make it look different. But right now, just stop saying all the dumb bull feces you continuously say and take a cue from your hairline and fall back. I'm nice. And with that, I duck the rock.
And the crowd goes wild. They keep smashing boy hairline, man. Yo.
Yo, his hairline back like Daddy Kane's career.
Give a quick shout out to the imaginary players. You can hear their show on BoltaRadio.com every Thursday at 8 p.m. Right after our show, you can switch over to BoltaRadio.com and hear the imaginary players get down. But right now, you can check out our website at WarRoomSports.com. You can click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. If you'd like to send an email to one of the hosts personally, all of our individual email addresses are also on that page. Become a fan of ours on Facebook at facebook.com/WarRoomSports. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/WarRoomSports. You can subscribe to and become a fan of our YouTube channel at WarRoomSportsTV.com. For general inquiries, hit us on the email at info@WarRoomSports.com. You can join the JW Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/The War Room. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, follow us, friend us, and favorite us to make The War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and to get updates and reminders about the show. Speaking of blogs, check ours out, All Fair in Sports and War, on the blog tab of our website.
Give them.
Yo, we off the air, fam.
What the heck? What happened? Hello? Hello? Brad.
You.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
What happened? Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, hello? We're experiencing some technical difficulties.
All right, I'm back on. This is PJ. Is everybody here?
Yeah. We're here live and direct.
Yo, that was crazy. Anyway, since we all back, I guess we could jump right into the NBA talk.
Yes, sir. All right.
But the four letters trying to sabotage us, fellas.
I know, yo. Hey, them four letters trying to mess with our show, yo.
Folks,
but anyway,
we're going to
progress anyway. Is Dev on?
Let me do a test. Let me do a test. Make sure. All right, we're cool.
Anyway, let's talk about a microphone, a.k.a. Blake Griffin, a.k.a. the Mulatto Heavyweight Basketball Champion, B. Austin. I know you called me after the game, and we're going crazy. So what's your opinion?
47.
You know,
first of all, we got to give him the number. Kill, give me the drum roll again for microphone, man. All
right. Okay.
Give me the drum roll for microphone, man. Ladies and gentlemen. Weighing in at 250 pounds, 6'10", the Mulatto Intercontinental Champion, 47 points, 14 boards, 8 rebounds, and the word going around the league is that cats are scared. No, literally, cats are scared. Michael Beasley has come out and said, I'm not getting dunked on. Two of the three Heatles have said, we don't want no problems, and Chris Bosh has been seen employing a defensive tactic that's called Matador, where he just backs up and lets him shoot a turnaround rather than spin off. Yo, the bull got cat scared, man.
Yo, let me ask you a quick question, right? I know you were excited about it, so I want to get your opinion on this. With the way he's playing this season, right, I assume that you think he should be an all-star. But my question is this. If it comes down to Blake Griffin – and Kevin Love, who do you put in the All-Star game?
Mm. Since both their teams are bad.
Blake.
I mean, he's more exciting. He's more exciting, but Kevin Love,
yo,
like, hits
Kevin
the board
Love,
like Moses.
Kevin Love is a ball player. I have to expand the roster for both of them.
You said he's a ball player. It's like 50 Tyson.
Yeah, he's a ball player.
Hey,
he's a ball
player.
You guys see me all blue, all red, every day. I'm 50 Tyson.
Yo, you know
he's a ball player.
It comes down to that, though. Since the game is in L.A., they're going to go ahead and go with Blake Griffin. Plus, he's in the dunk contest.
Yeah, they can't do that to Kevin Love. Kevin Love is balling. They should have made Tim Duncan sit home because nothing against Timmy D's. But right now, them two young boys are playing out of their mind.
They probably do deserve it a little more, but then they're going to take Tim Duncan's team's record into account.
Who has the better record? Whose team has the better record out of Kevin Love and Blake?
The Clippers.
Blake
Clippers
Griffin.
Yeah, that's like saying
wins and
that's
the,
like,
and the Wolves got
that's
like
saying what smells worse, trash or garbage?
Nah, you're right. But you know what? I think that with so few wins to going around, you got to say that. They're you got to wait it, meaning that Blake has probably had an instrumental part in them winning more games than the Timberwolves at this point.
Yo,
but Kevin Love
is
a monster, man.
Yo, one thing I say about Blake Griffin is the first month he averaged like 16-9, then he went to 20-10, then he went to 24-11, now he's at 27-13. So he's improving right before our eyes, and every time he gets on the floor, he has one of these moments.
In the face!
great points, Kel. PJ, what's your thoughts on this? We didn't hear from you in reference to the Mulatto champion.
Blake Griffin, bring the light skin back like 89. He is, to me, the most, honestly, right now, one of the most dominant forces in the league right now. I mean, that doesn't mean the best. But the most dominant force in the league right now, I would say Blake. And whoever mentioned it earlier, I'd say, Tim, no respect, but you old, you're boring, you're fundamentally sound, you're the greatest at your position. Sit this one out, you know, go tend to the family, let Kevin Love and Blake get a run.
Yeah, I heard that. All right, so that's all your opinions. I don't know how you make a decision. I guess Tim Boyd had to sit home. Though Tim is still playing.
Yo,
did they let
Blake, like, did they let him rock in the hood or something? Like, he balled like you drank a lot of Kool-Aid.
Yo, he was made in a lab,
And ate sandwiches.
He was made in a lab. Yo, I know y'all saw Odom try to rumble Blake Griffin, and Blake ain't want no parts of it. And then somehow Ryan Artest got ejected for breaking the fight up. I'm still trying to figure that one out.
Yo, I think Blake's calm demeanor actually was a blessing for Lamar Odom, because I think he would.
Blake Griffin knows that men don't fight women.
He has respect for his gender.
Yo, we ain't got to get into that, though. What I want to know is, let's talk about the players of the week in the NBA. Dev, I know you got their stats, but the players of the week were Derrick Rose and Russell Westbrook, two point guards in the league. And speaking of that, while Dev gathers the stats, did you see Charles Barkley's comment and how he believes that Derrick Rose has now surpassed Deron Williams as the best point guard in the league? He said Derrick Rose is playing at such a high level that he may be the best point guard in the entire game right now. But anyway,
I've been
hearing what the stats look like.
I heard that from a few people this week, and it's crazy how quickly people jump to conclusions. He only got to do it for 2 weeks. But so Rose, he averaged 27.3 points this week, 6.8 assists, and 5.3 rebounds. In their win Saturday over Miami, he dropped 34 on the Heatles while dishing out 8 assists. Westbrook averaged 27.5 this week, a league-best 13 assists and 9 rebounds. He almost averaged a triple-double for the week. So he helped the Thunder. It was only 2 games, though. They went 2-0. He recorded his second triple-double of the season on the 13th in a win over Orlando. So, two young point guards on the rise. They will be two of the best. I mean, they are two of the best point guards in the league, but let's give it some time to start taking titles.
You don't buy into the hype, though, huh?
I mean, they are playing at a great level.
We talked about this. We
up spots. It's only been a month.
Half
the
season. We rapped about this. We rapped about this when we were talking about Deron Williams and Chris Paul, whom y'all must have forgot. And I think we all came to the conclusion that Deron Williams has a holist game. Like, there's no flaws in dude's game. You can't really say that about Derrick Rose yet. Although he is working so hard to remove the flaws in his game, you gotta love it and respect it. Yo, Deron Williams can do what he wants when he wants on a basketball court, bar none, on both ends of the court.
I agree with that. But the one thing I can say about Derrick Rose is his constant improvement is very impressive.
Yeah.
Considering my man Rajon Rondo, he ain't had a jump shot since high school, and it looks like he don't even work on it.
Yo, Derrick Rose,
I don't think he had a jump shot at all. That's what I like about
my man. Yo, my man looks like he don't even work on his jump shot.
His
jump shots are like field goal kicks. They're like wide right all the time.
Look at the Scott Norwood. Norwood jump shot.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's crazy.
OKC is scary.
Yo, let me ask you guys another question, because I'm already spoke on LeBronte's comments and the whole karma thing. What was your opinion of LeBron and his whole karma comment? What'd you think about it? That'd be awesome.
I think that they allow 2 WNBA players on the Heat roster, and I can only imagine what Dwayne Wade has to deal with in that locker room, finding makeup and Lee press-on nails and feminine product laying around from Ramon and Christina. I mean,
I just think LeBron, like B. Austin said earlier in his Jimmy said PTR, he needs to just focus on playing basketball and not so much of the talking, you know, because I don't know why these guys think just because you do it on your private phone that tweeting is a private thing. More people will see what you tweet, you know, quicker than what they see on ESPN. It's not a private thing, so you can't just keep saying what you want and then going back and retracting everything you say. Just shut up and play basketball, man.
Yeah, more or less. Dr. Bayard, what was your thoughts on this whole comment about karma?
Yo, I mean, it was kind of funny in a bad way. Like, it wasn't funny, but it was, because as soon as he said that, they're going like a three-game losing streak. He hurts his ankle. Chris Bosh gets hurt. So it kind of came back to bite him. And but one thing I wanted to say about my Derrick Rose, since I'm a Bulls fan, you know, I'm a Bulls fan, and I'm going to say, okay, obviously he's not better than Chris Paul or Deron Williams, and but he is working on his game. And I will say that, you know, him and Westbrook are better than Rondo at this point. So, you know,
you want to take that call, Kill, on the Digital Extreme Tech Hotline?
Yeah. Let me take that call. Let's see. We have here we go. Caller, you're in the war room. State your name and where are you calling from?
Dave from D.C.
What's up, Davey? How you doing?
Dave, I'm back again. Called y'all last week. I had nothing but hate for my Bears. I'm not here to talk about the Bears right now. I'm just going to let y'all know, you know, 20-6, Bears win, going to the bowl. I don't care what y'all got to say. I can't convince y'all. We play ball together. It's all love. But let's talk about this All-Star, you know, game real quick. Now, I'm not even going to try to convince y'all that Derrick Rose is the best point guard in the league right now. There's no point. I mean, Deron Williams is my man, and I'm not just saying this from a biased standpoint. But Derrick Rose, I'm looking at the stat line right now, and I'm considering the fact that he's been missing Carlos Boozer, or whatever his name is, tripping over bags and whatever, missing him for half the year, missing Noah with torn ligaments. Deron Williams, 22.5 assists, one steal, shooting 38% from the three-point stripe. My man Derrick Rose, 24.7 points, 8 assists, 1 steal, shooting 38% from the stripe. He's averaging more rebounds. He's just effective with less around him. So, I mean,
this is Devin. But Deron Williams missing Carlos Boozer, too, because he left to go play with Derrick Rose.
I mean, Carlos Boozer, he came over here, but they still got Al Jefferson and Paul Millsap, who, if you remember this time last year, actually before the season started, Utah was willing to move Carlos Boozer immediately because they had Millsap. And Millsap has provided a lot of force down there along with Jefferson. So, I mean, that's a moot point. Plus,
I don't think they were trying to say Millsap was better. I think they were trying to get younger and they were trying to go cheaper. I don't think that was them saying Millsap is better than Carlos Boozer, because I don't think anybody in the league can say that.
Millsap than Carlos Boozer at all. I totally disagree. I think there's a lot of holes in Boozer's game, however, that Millsap, you know, he has more fundamental rebounding, crashing the board, just being a body down there regardless. Derrick Rose has no two guard. Derrick Rose has had he has Keith Bogans as a two guard. So, I mean, come on, man. Akil, go take your man's place. Give us a couple 3-point shots of defense.
Yeah, but you
Dave, this is Jimmy. I just want to say something. I think that right now, Derrick Rose might be playing better basketball, but I think the point that we're trying to make is it's a matter of his body of work. Like, he can have a better season this season than Deron Williams, absolutely, but he has to put together several seasons back to back. I mean, Deron Williams has been putting in work for a couple of years now.
No, I definitely think if you want to take the top point guard list of next season based on what's going on right now, you got to give Deron Williams a nod because he got a resume. But Derrick Rose is right there, and he's passing him up. But I just want to talk about this All-Star game real quick. Y'all talked about Blake Griffin. Blake Griffin, Doug, that man scares me, and I'm just a fan. Like, I'm not – the list he gives to man, Chalmers was tripping the other day. I don't know, but that Eastern All-Star lineup is looking ridiculous right now. I think they got to start Blake Griffin just so they won't beat the West by 40. What do y'all think?
What about Kevin Love? Where do you put Kevin Love at, though? Because Kevin Love is also playing out of his mind.
I love Kevin Love, and I will reward him for being an All-Star because he's putting up All-Star numbers. But y'all know, we're ballers, man. It's the All-Star game. We're not watching TNT on Sunday night to see rebounding and passing. We want to see running.
He's talking about, man, I want to see some full-court passes, man.
Kevin Love can shoot that thing from deep.
Kevin Love is a beast, and I think he's one of the most underrated players in the league right now, even based on what he's been doing. I think, you know, people just don't look at him because he's in Minnesota, but Kevin Love's going to be a problem once he leaves Minnesota, wherever he goes.
Yeah.
All right,
also,
Dave, thanks for your call, man.
Ask you.
Yeah, we're going to talk about them Bears in a little while when we start talking about football. So call back in when we start talking about your Bears, man.
I'm going to hit you back, no doubt.
All right. Hey, Davey, real quick.
He hung up already.
I was going to add on the, even though Rose has had a hot streak these past month or so, Deron Williams still has him in overall efficiency at like 24.1, and Derrick Rose is right under at like 22, 23.
See, that's why we got you, the statistician. You bring up player efficiency ratings. Yo, real quick, before we move on, I have one question I want to ask you guys. Give you a little bit of information. Vince Carter, he's the 37th player in the history of the game to score 20,000 points. Out of those previous 36, only 10 aren't in the Hall of Fame, and 8 are still active. So there's only 2 that are active to go in, inactive that can go to the Hall of Fame that haven't, and that's Mitch Richmond and Tom Chambers. So he's putting up Hall of Fame numbers. The bottom line I want to know is, do you guys think that he should go into the Hall of Fame? And I'll go
Should I go into the Hall of Fame?
Hold on. Let PJ go first. PJ, what's your opinion on Vince Carter? I mean, he has the numbers. What's your opinion on him in terms of Hall of Fame?
Brad chomping at the bit over there to get at his ball.
I know.
But I would say, does he make it into the Hall of Fame? No. Definitively, because to me, Vince Carter's put up good numbers over the years. I mean, but to me, he's an anti-clutch player. Like, when I look at Vince Carter, to me, he's had the same skill level since he came into the league. He's not a clutch player. Honestly, if I remember correctly, he really hasn't done anything even remotely in the clutch in a big game since they played, I think when they played us back in like 2001. And when I say us, I mean the Sixers, with him and AI. Yeah, like I'm trying to think. I don't remember Vince doing anything more than that. I look at him as a highlight film, but he doesn't, to me, he's not the type of player that can take over. He may have numbers, but that's an accumulation.
All right, I got you.
I think Mitch Richmond better than him, to be honest with you. So that's
I do too. Dev, give us your opinion on whatever you should call it, is trash.
I agree with PJ. Like he's not a clutch player. Like he has a lot of numbers, but his career is kind of meaningless. Like he said, since the 2001 semifinals, he hasn't done anything meaningful in his career. You know, he keeps getting traded to places, and when he goes, he's actually not even the best player on his team anymore. So. You know, he just has a skill set that's been lacking ever since he got into the league. He's athletic, but he plays no defense. You know, he's turned into strictly a jump shooter. And, you know, when he dribbles, you hear circus music playing. But it's the same for, like, Mitch and them. Like, their careers were kind of meaningless, you know? But
that's a call like, man career meaningless. Damn.
I mean, it was. Yo,
his beard is trash too. But I'm gonna give my quick opinion because I know B. Austin wants to weigh in. But I have a couple different ways of looking at this. I don't think Vince Carter is a Hall of Fame player. But then when I look at the Hall of Fame, like I did this past week, I think that 65% of the people in there shouldn't be in the Hall of Fame. Yo, Joe Dumars is in the Hall of Fame. And he averaged 16 points. Iggy averages more points than Joe Dumars. So Iggy should be in the Hall of Fame too, right? FOH.
Vince Carter is not the class act that Joe Dumars is.
Yeah, he's not a class act. But, yo, if I had a vote, I'd put Vince in just for that dunk in the Olympics. That dunk alone is going to put him in the Hall of Fame.
Well,
yo, that
all counts. You know that all counts, though, because
that counts.
In the Hall of Fame,
it's
the college
basketball Hall of Fame.
Counts.
Yeah, it's not the NBA Hall of Fame. It's the basketball Hall of Fame.
He has no ball handling skills.
Yeah, he went to
ball handling skills.
Yo, Dr. Bayon, let's hear what you got to say real quick.
Yo, if Vince Carter gets into the Hall of Fame, then my man, your man, World Be Free, needs to get in the Hall of Fame. World Be Free has 18,000 points, and for a 10-year stretch, averaged between 22 and 30 a game. So if Vince gets in, then World Be Free needs to be in. And Vince is
World Be Free shouldn't get in just based upon the suit that he wears at the Sixers game. They should never let him in because I'm afraid to see what he'll wear to the ceremony. Last one, B. Austin, let's give us your opinion before we move on about your man Vince.
If Vince should be in the Hall of Fame, I should be in the Hall of Fame. Because, ball not good, man. I used to call him the highest jumping human trash can. And, it's crazy because stats mean so much, and yet it's relative because they mean so little. As all of y'all have said collectively, what is the meaning of his stats? It didn't translate into wins. It doesn't translate into championships. He's just a scorer. He's Glenn Robinson. Dude is an athletic. He has a J. Jumps high. Does nothing else.
Hey, B. Austin. John Bapp in the chat room said if Vince Carter makes it, Michael Adams should make it.
Damn.
He also said Joe Dumars is a finals MVP and he was way more clutch. But to that I say the finals are only a few games. So, Chauncey Billups was a finals MVP. And if he goes into the Hall of Fame, I'm not watching basketball no more. So,
yo, Joe Dumars got the same numbers as Iggy, yo. Yo, that's crazy. Yo, but he really does, though. But, yo, when I looked it up, the thing about the Hall of Fame is when you look at all the people in the Hall of Fame, half of them shouldn't be there, yo. And that goes in every sport, whether it's basketball, baseball, football. Somebody tell me why Joe Namath is in the Hall of Fame, yo. Please do.
Because he made a promise and won the Super Bowl.
And delivered on, yeah.
Because he's a man of
the guarantee and delivered.
Because Joe Namath can say, give it. Give it here with a smile and got it.
Anybody listening or in the chat room want to look up Joe Namath's numbers, if you're appalled that Jimmy just said that, look up his numbers and then hit us in the chat or call in and apologize. What'd you say, Kev?
Yo, because Joe Namath is trash truck. Real quick before we move on, Dev, in the chat room, the imaginary players, they're in the chat room. They said that they should have a little booth outside of the Hall of Fame where they show highlights of Vince Carter, Sean Kemp, Tracy McGrady, and all the other greats for a couple years while you wait to get into a real Hall of Fame.
Shout out to the imaginary players. Like we said earlier, their show is right after ours at 8 o'clock on VoltaRadio.com. Check them out.
I would put T-Mac in before I put Vince in, and neither one of them deserves to be in.
Yo, please stop that, because we got to move on, and I'll go on for a half hour how T-Mac is an overrated. No, matter of fact, let me stop. Go ahead, Des.
Sorry. BJ, you want to let everybody know how to get in contact with us real quick?
Yeah, y'all can check us out on our website at warroomsports.com. Click on the Contact Us tab to send us a message about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. If you'd like to send an email to one of the hosts personally, all of our individual email addresses are also on that page. Become a fan of ours on Facebook at facebook.com/warroomsports. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/warroomsports. Subscribe to and become a fan of our YouTube channel at warroomsportstv.com. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. Join the JW Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/the war room. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook or your Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, follow us, friend us, and favorite us to make the War Room one of your favorite Blog Talk Radio shows and to get updates and reminders about the show. Speaking of blogs, check out ours, All's Fair in Sports and War, on the blog tab of our website. Please subscribe to our iTunes podcast so you can listen to the show at any time on your own device. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. To call in and speak with the host, dial the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. Pressing 1 is like raising your hand, and you never know. One of the War Room professors just might call on you. Send it back to y'all. I guess you heard what was going on in the chat room, so get it to some football.
Yes, sir. So we're going to talk about some football topics real quick. So first off, we're going to start with a little house cleaning. Some people got some jobs this week. Hugh Jackson was named the head coach of the Raiders. Mike Singletary became the linebackers coach of Minnesota. Josh McDaniels, he got a job as the O coordinator. And where'd he go?
Who, Josh McDaniels?
Where'd he go again? St.
Louis.
All right. Went with the youngin' over there in St. Louis. What do y'all think?
The brother Rob Ryan became the D coordinator in Dallas. The brother of Rex, and son of Buddy.
Okay. When are you gonna get that?
I'm
his brother hiring in New York. But what do y'all think of those hirings? Hugh Jackson to the Raiders. You think that's just gonna be another 2-year, 3-year stopgap coach for Al Davis?
Jimmy?
How dare you let black people?
Yo, first off, I just want to say that when they show Al Davis in the press conference show, I was scared.
First off,
Al Davis died 10 years ago. Let's get that clear, yo. That's like Weekend at Bernie's. They just rolled somebody out there. That really wasn't Al Davis, yo, because Al Davis is dead. Rest in peace to Al Davis.
He died.
But anyway, the coach came out talking trash from the get-go, and, you know, we like that trash talking, and, you know. But who knows? Who knows what the Raiders like? I don't think they should have got rid of their last coach.
They were 8-8. How do you fire Tom Cable?
Yeah.
How you fire Tom Cable?
Yo, hold up. Yo, I think a couple of us said Jason Campbell would have a good impact, even though he was in and out the lineup. We figured that the Raiders 8-8 would be a successful season for them, and the Redskins with Nick OT throwing up in the Super Bowl. Would have a bad season, probably like 5 or 6 wins, and it came to fruition.
Hail to the prophet.
Yeah, that's one of the things we finally got right.
William, a.k.a. the prophets.
Yo, Brad, what do you think about Josh McDaniels in St. Louis with Bradford?
I really don't know his offensive identity. I don't know what type of offense he's going to install there. But he's got a heck of a quarterback, a heck of a young quarterback in St. Louis.
He did pretty well in New England as an old coordinator. That's what I was trying to tell someone today, because of his stint in Denver, people are just dismissing him, as a coach altogether.
Running a full team takes so much out of you. You got to delegate so much. If your strength is an offensive coordinator, but you got to manage the whole team, sometimes that takes away.
He's a little bit of a jackass from what, from his
Brandon Marshall
around
yeah,
the league.
Brandon Marshall told us.
Yeah, if you take that power from him and just make him an old coordinator again, I think it's a pretty good hire for St. Louis. PJ, what do you think about that?
I mean, I agree. A lot of these coaches used to be coordinators, and that's what got them promoted to become a coach. So I don't think that everybody is set to be a coach, because a coach is almost like a CEO, if you will, and, the coordinators are more like managers or supervisors. Sometimes everybody's not always set out to be, the head, because you almost have to run a coach. When you're coaching an organization, you almost have to run it like a CEO when you include the players and the coaches and the staff and all that stuff, and everybody's not cut out for that. So, honestly, I think it's a better move than him taking another coaching job from what I saw in Denver.
So, Kill, what do you think about Singletary in Minnesota as the linebackers coach?
Man, I think that'll be good. I think that'll make them better. I've noticed a trend of former head coaches going to become assistants again, and then those teams actually getting stronger. For example, the Chicago Bears, if I'm not mistaken, they have Rod Marinelli, they have Mike Martz, they have I believe Dennis Green and Mike Tice as their coaches. So that's like four or five head coaches. And the Bears are, one win away from the Super Bowl with Lovie Smith as the head coach. So
excuse me, Kittle, real quick, why didn't Dave Campbell work out for y'all?
Yo, he should have stayed a coordinator. He just should have stayed a coordinator.
But listen, oh, by the way, Mr. Harper just accepted my Facebook request.
Shout out to Hyman.
But listen, I want to get into these the divisional round games from last weekend, because, we had a little war room retreat out in the mountains, and, we were watching a game on our flat screens in our log cabin and just having a good time. Once again, we apologize because we were supposed to have a live show from our party, and we had some technical difficulties up in the mountains, so we couldn't do that. But the first game, the Steelers and the Ravens, when I think about that game, All I want to get from you guys is, what about your man Ben, aka Don't Say Nothing, Just Give It Here, Roethlisberger in the clutch, because he did it again. Jimmy.
Yo, I kept telling people, I said, look, he doesn't put up the gaudy Peyton Manning stats or Tom Brady stats, but if I had one player to take for that drive, I'm taking Big Ben, no rainbow. Because he comes through in the clutch every time. I mean, I wouldn't go out to party with him after the fact. I'm not trying to get arrested. But if I had to, you know, take one player, don't say nothing, just give it here, always comes through.
Yeah. That was really interesting.
He treats those situations like the young ladies he likes. He gives them no option but a win for him.
Yo, I told Jimmy and TJ, I told them while we were watching the game when the Ravens took the lead, I'm like, well, now all the coach has to do is line some young 18-year-olds up in the end zone and just tell Ben to go. And
go, get him. Go get him.
Any other thoughts on that game?
Yeah,
it was,
man,
a
it's just
like everybody expected.
I
think
it's
Ravens,
just Ben, man, is
falling off.
What'd you say, PJ?
Yeah. No, I just say Ben, man. Ben is that dude in the clutch, man. I mean, he's proven it and he's doing it. Now, I mean, he, like Jim said, he has his naysayers and his critics, but in the fourth quarter, in the second half of the fourth quarter, in the 8 minutes and less, he gets it in. He takes over like he takes charge on young girls.
70-yard bomb, though, in a clutch drive situation, a 70-yard bomb.
3rd and 19.
Come on.
Who throws, yo, 3rd and 19,
yeah,
though?
We would call
but that dude
FedEx
is difficult.
In that situation.
He's difficult to defend because even when you get pressure on him, if the person that is tackling Ben Roethlisberger does not weigh over 265 pounds, there's a good chance that he's breaking that tackle and still
it's
stepping back to throw it.
It's funny that you say that because I think his biggest weakness sometimes is his greatest strength because he holds onto the ball entirely too long. But when dudes are coming back there, they're like bouncing off the guy. So what can you do?
I don't think his strength really is reading defenses and establishing timing. But when the play breaks down, it becomes his strength because he's got time to see everything and make a play.
Yeah, we noticed he pump fakes at least 2 or 3 times on every play.
Every play. And Brad, being a former D-back, like, what he does, like you said, he holds the ball so long and extends the play so long that he's not necessarily reading the defenses that well. He may do that well, but even if he doesn't, the fact that you can only cover somebody but for so long, if you're as a D-back, you're only going to be able to stay in front of the receiver for so long. And if he's breaking the play down and extending it to like 8 to like 10, 11 seconds, you don't really have any choice. And he's going to take his time, bounce off a tackle, and then make the throw. So it's interesting how you talk about his weakness being his strength, but it's true.
Yeah. Well, if anybody want to call in and weigh in on these divisional round playoff games, you can call us at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted, and we'll get to you. The second game of that day was the Packers and the Falcons, and that's another thing that we were right about because nobody in here really – you know, even though they had the best record in the NFC, nobody here believed in the Falcons, and we were called all kinds of haters and this and
except
that
me.
On Facebook and Twitter. Bayon believed
in them.
Bayon believed in the Falcons, and the Falcons went out and got absolutely destroyed. And I think Aaron Rodgers is the greatest quarterback in the NFL under the age of 27. And I don't know anybody else who's under the age of 27, but I know he's 27.
Jay Cutler
is one.
Jay Cutler.
He's way better than Jay Cutler.
Come on, man. It's a Bears win this weekend. It won't be because he outdueled Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Yo, Aaron, I got a real quick stat about Aaron Rodgers since you brought him up. And because a lot of people that are trying to give the Bears a chance talking about, you know, the cold and him being the type of quarterback that he is, even though he plays in Green Bay. But in his 3-year career as a starter, in games where the temperature at starting game is below 30 degrees, his record is 7-3. He has a 63% completion rate. He averages 303 yards a game. He has 25 touchdowns against 5 interceptions. His passer rating is 109 in all games. And you know, since he's been starting, his passer rating is 109 when the temperature of the game, starting the game, is below 30 degrees. That's very good for any quarterback. You know what I'm saying? So basically, the point of that is like weather doesn't really seem to affect Aaron Rodgers, or it hasn't in his career so far. He's actually
I heard a conversation today, so I want to get you guys' thoughts on that, and you can answer first. If you were starting a team today with all the variables and attributes of every quarterback with their current age and everything, what quarterback would you take with your number one pick to start your team with?
Out of all the quarterbacks or just
out of all the quarterbacks?
Damn. That's a hard question. I'd say, sheesh. I mean, it's hard to not consider your people like your Breeze and consider your Phillip Rivers, your Breeze, your Rodgers. I know. How old is Drew Breeze? That's my question. How old is Drew Breeze?
32.
Of course, I bought him. I'm thinking with
what
age.
What about Phillip Rivers?
I think I'm going
26.
What about Phillip Rivers? You said 26.
It got to be between them two, but I'm going with Aaron Rodgers, man.
I'm definitely going for somebody under 30 if I can. If I
Rivers
can go with somebody under 30, definitely. And if it comes down to those two as being top.
Rivers is just as productive, if not more, but Aaron Rodgers just make it look better, man.
Hey, Dan,
I just like
question.
Aaron Rodgers' ability. Go ahead.
No, can I take Matt
Good.
Saracen?
QB1.
Yo.
He's too small. What about
who would y'all take? Who would y'all take? Because to me, it would be between Philip Rivers and Aaron Rodgers. It'd be between Philip and Aaron Rodgers.
I'm going Sam Bradford.
Word?
Wow.
If I had to start a team today.
You were that impressed this year?
I'm factoring in age. I'm going Sam Bradford, man. Yo, he was passing to Danny Amendola. Danny Amendola is a waiter at a restaurant.
He got shot by the Cowboys.
What about
that game though? I mean, we all, except for Bayon, thought that the Falcons, their bite wasn't as large as their bark. And
here's the thing. First off, we saw Kevin Cobb tear them to shreds. I haven't respected them since then. They were frauds, and they got exposed, yo. But it really wasn't even shocking though. It wasn't shocking. You got the Packers in that those receivers playing on that the indoor stadium. It was like a track meet, yo.
Well, I wouldn't say, like, the Falcons losing wasn't shocking to me. And even that they got beat down wasn't shocking to me. But the way they got beat down and by how many points, it was a little bit of a shocker. You go in as the number one seed and you just get destroyed. It didn't even look like they did. They probably did. They just weren't that good.
I think that Aaron Rodgers has been probably the fourth or fifth best quarterback in the NFL for the last 2 years at least. Behind Brady, Peyton, and Breeze is probably Aaron Rodgers, because one of the things that he does is he combines athleticism with pocket presence. And people don't realize that his combine numbers, I think he led his quarterback class. The dude's not slow. He runs like a 4.6 40. He's athletic.
Yeah.
He can get on the edge and make plays, and he makes that line look good, because Green Bay's line to this day is terrible, and you wouldn't know.
He's pretty much proven what everybody was wondering, because a lot of people, and I talked to somebody back then, I used to talk to somebody every day who said that the Packers were stupid for letting Favre go and this and that, and Aaron Rodgers is going to be a bum, but that guy, he's usually wrong. So, you got to take that with a grain of salt. But
you talking about the dude that lied about his PhD?
Anyway,
yo,
look,
but hold on though.
Aaron
Rodgers
ran a 4.71, 4.71, which is faster than Patrick Creighton, who runs a 4.74.
Why is he a receiver?
Damn,
running a 4.74.
Yo, he that slow?
Why
is
he
running?
Why is
he
returning punts?
And he ran two punts back last year. Hey, why did he run two punts back last year?
Yo,
that's disrespectful.
Yeah, real quick though. The thing about it is, could you imagine the 49ers passed on him for Alex Smith? That's funny for one. And for two, like in the chat room, the imaginary player said the Falcons padded their record by playing the NFC West. And like the Panthers twice this year. So the Falcons did pad their record because their biggest wins were like against the Buccaneers. So
I don't think that was another team. The Bucks were 10 and 6 this year. That don't mean nothing. The Bucks had to play the same division.
That's a loser.
The Panthers twice too.
They padded their stats too. Yeah, exactly.
All right, so let's get into that Bears and Seahawks game. Cutler's still playing great. Two touchdowns throwing, two touchdowns on the ground. Seahawks laid an egg after their big win the other day and then fired their offensive coordinator, Bates, after the game. Did you guys see anything from the Bears that would lead you to believe that they might be going to the Super Bowl?
Nope. Yo, to be honest, the Bears are playing well above their stats. You know how Raheem Morris says stats are for losers, and obviously they don't tell everything. But the Bears are ranked like last or like below 20, in the 20s in every category. I have it right here. They're with their league ranks, they're 30th in total yards, the 21st in points, 28th in passing yards, 22nd in rushing. And then when it comes to now, they do have Devin Hester, which is a big part of the third phase of the game, and they have weather on their side. And in defense, now they're 4th in points, they're 9th in yards, 20th in passing yards, 2nd in rushing yards. So the fact that they're basically stopping a run, and they're not really scoring that much on offense, and they're just beating people, like grinding it out.
All right, so do you guys think this whole thing with the Bears field, because apparently their field is trash. Do you buy
mashed
into
potatoes
that
being, and gravy.
Do y'all buy into that being a benefit?
Yeah, I do.
You know, does
I
it benefit
do.
The Bears? You do?
Yeah.
Well,
because my thing is both teams have to play on it, but they keep saying that, you know, since the Packers are the faster team, it might bother them a little more than the Bears. What'd you say, Peter?
I was going to say that, like you said, both teams have to play on it. And it does depend on the style of the team that's actually playing on it, because it's basically mashed potatoes and gravy that they're playing on. But, I believe it'll slow a fast team down. I think it probably has its biggest impact on the line of scrimmage, to be honest with you, because there's so much on the offense and defensive line that's dependent upon leverage. And you really need to get good traction in order to get good leverage and explosion off of the line of scrimmage. Just as it's probably difficult for D-backs as well. But I think it'll slow a fast team down, but I don't think it gives the Bears a definitive advantage. And I definitely think that the Packers are going to beat the Bears, because the Bears did not impress me by beating the Seahawks. And I still don't think the Bears are for real. They're not as much of a fraud as the Falcons were, but they're toting the fraud line to me. I don't really believe that much in them.
were the Patriots fraud? Be awesome.
I think so. when you look at the Patriots, what the Patriots are is a not so talented, well coached, great executing team. And when they matched up with another team with superior talent that was decently coached, it showed up. Their receivers couldn't get open. Not that Tom Brady isn't the man, but if you're not open, you're not open. And just to kind of harken back to that Bears-Packers thing, I think the Bears and the Packers are very similar in that they both have great defenses, and it'll come down to their offenses and their quarterback. Neither team really runs the ball that well. I think whatever team has Aaron Rodgers wins that game.
Do you think special teams will play a point? Do you think special teams will make a difference?
Don't kick it to Devin Hester and you straight.
Yo, my thing is Somebody needs to go steal Jay Cutler's insulin.
He has the Sour Patch Kids.
I'm gonna take it back to that Jets Patriots game, because B. Austin said, the Jets had some superior athletes on defense that made what, in my opinion, the runaway landslide MVP winner Tom Brady. They made him look a little human. Sanchez looked pretty good in this game, because there were a lot of times where I thought, okay, the Patriots are due to make a run and Sanchez is going to do something to help them out, and he never did. You know, so I got to give him his props.
He managed the game.
He threw some pretty good passes though.
Yo, hey Dev, let me throw a stat at y'all real quick. Before I do that, shout out to Bart Scott. But yo, the real quick, do you realize that if the Jets win this game this weekend, that Mark Sanchez has the most road wins in NFL history for a quarterback?
Who? Yeah.
In the playoffs.
Playoff road wins. If they win this week, Sanchez has the most playoff road wins in the history of the NFL.
But here's an interesting stat about that, Jimmy. You know who else is on that list, though? He will surpass Jake DeLone.
Jake DeLone.
And I know that's Dev. Dev hates DeLone because he knows he ain't chat. But they also got Joe Flacco's on that list, too.
Bart Starr's
on that list, too.
Those kind of stats are always so overrated. I mean,
I just thought it was funny. My man's in his second year, yo. He got thrown right into the mix of playing for a chip.
But listen, yeah. I hear all the Peyton haters saying, "Well, look at your boy. He's 9-10 in playoff games." Okay, he's 9-10, but he has a Super Bowl ring and been to another Super Bowl. So, like, you know, only one team can win a year. So some of those playoff stats start to get a little. I mean, because look at McNabb's playoff record. He ain't won jack. So, throwing that stuff around. I think it's a little corny. But let me go back real quick.
Let's not even talk about him. McNabb's a princess boy.
Yeah, because we all said something that made me think about something. Because you remember what everybody did was praise the Patriots because they were able to get rid of Randy Moss and what looked like a seamless transition back into Deion Branch and the other no-name guys that they have. But I think the absence of Randy Moss showed his head in this playoff game.
Because they were not scared.
There was no room for Wes Walker to run around like he usually does because they didn't have Randy Moss on the outside to stretch the field. So I think they got over without him up until that point, and Belichick got his praise like he usually does. But I think it came back to bite him. Anybody think of that?
I would agree in so much as saying that even though Randy Moss is not the same Randy Moss of old, the dude is still one of the top receivers in the league from a talent and athleticism standpoint, and you have to respect him. You got to respect him when he runs, and he's going to run off a corner and run off a safety and open up a half of the field, which is what you're alluding to.
Yeah, plus he probably takes Revis Island. Revis Island probably takes that assignment, so it takes Revis Island
They put Cromartie on Randy because of the height. The height, you know, Cromartie 6'2", Randy 6'4", so they run Cromartie off, and then they put
his last game in New England.
Revis was on him. I don't agree with that. I think that the Jets were well coached that game. They schemed perfectly. But first off, with Randy Moss, you don't even know what Randy Moss you're going to get from game to game. Second off,
his chemistry issues.
You still have to respect him.
Randy Moss being on the field makes Wes Walker a Pro Bowl. Period.
I understand what you're saying, but what I'm saying is, what about all the negative baggage he brings? What about the whole chemistry issues? Are they even 14-2 in the first season with Randy Moss? I mean, they played a lot better ball when he left.
They went undefeated with Randy Moss. They went 16-0.
A couple years ago, they didn't win a championship. But what I'm saying, I'm talking about this year with him being unhappy without having his contract. A couple years ago, he wasn't screaming for no dough either, though. When he wanted his dough, he was a different Randy Moss.
Okay,
he didn't play the same when he wanted his money.
You're saying they played better. They only lost two games the whole season. So I don't think there was too many stretches in the season where they were playing better.
No, they lost two games, but it's a difference. And when Randy Moss left, they faced stiffer competition. They played the Steelers, the Ravens, the Jets, and they beat all these teams without Randy Moss.
Jimmy, I just gave Belichick his props for making it a seamless transition. I said in this game, the absence of Randy Moss.
Yeah, but I understand what you're saying. What I'm saying is if you put Randy Moss in this game and Randy Moss still doesn't have his contract, what Randy Moss are you going to get? The same Randy Moss that was in Tennessee? The same Randy Moss that was in Minnesota? Listen, Jimmy, it's not about what Randy Moss you're going to get.
I think you get a better Wes Walker. I think you get, you know, them other little bums are going to have better days, even if he's standing out
there.
It's not
so much about Randy Moss as a whole. It's the fact that you have to scheme against him still. He still takes
Listen, I get what you're saying.
Players,
you said you
want
take
to
him
stand
as a whole.
Over there, even if he wants to stand on the field like a princess boy and pout, you still have to account for him with 2 to 3 players, which means that is another 2 to 3 players that can't watch the rest of those dudes, and they get to do their thing.
No, I understand what you're saying. I understand what you're saying, but it's not that simple. I mean, if that's the case, Randy Moss would have a ring. Randy Moss hasn't won a ring yet.
What I'm saying is you would have to scheme for him, and it
wouldn't have made a difference. You still have to take everything into consideration. You have to take consideration him in the locker room. I understand what you're saying is going to make everybody else better on the field, but will it really? Because at the end of the day,
we're talking about the scheme. I'm bringing that up
because what I'm saying is you have to take Randy Moss as a whole. Even you're saying you don't take him as a whole just for this one game, but that comes with that.
I understand that perspective. You're looking at the whole picture. I'm talking about as a former player, if I'm on the field and my assignment is to watch one guy and my corner's assignment is to watch one guy, then my attention and my responsibilities are divided, and another player has less challenge in getting open. No one's afraid of Deion Branch, Wes Welker, and whoever they else, Danny Woodhead, or whoever they else have lined up. So the Jets have more athletes to focus on locking down individual players. Randy Moss,
and with that
even
being,
now,
with that being
from,
said. It wouldn't make a difference. It wouldn't make a difference. If you, first of all, wide receiver is the most overrated position in sports. How does one person
taking 2 people away in my scheme not make a difference? One person.
No, I'm saying, personally, let me weigh in, fellas.
I was going to say, with Rex Ryan's scheme, this is the key. Notice what they did. They didn't blitz almost at all. They would have like 7, 8 guys in coverage and just forcing Brady to pick his spot.
To throw underneath.
Would have Randy Moss made a difference with the fact you have 7, 8 guys in coverage assigned to a man zone anyway? That's the question.
You can't run that man zone with Randy Moss.
You don't think if he's in that game, the scheme is even different? That's why I keep going back. I'm saying for the
run that
game,
scheme, Jimmy.
If he runs,
I honestly don't. I think that scheme is based upon them not fearing their running game at all. They didn't fear the Patriots' running game, so I do think they play the same scheme. I do think they do that. This is what I'm saying.
Let me clear
it's
up.
It's the same thing the Falcons did in '98 when they played the Vikings. They ran the same exact scheme.
Let me clear up.
And Randy Moss was no factor in the game.
All right. Let me clear up what I'm saying. This scheme, like I agree with what you said. Like, he had a great scheme for this game. I think if Randy Moss is there, there's a different scheme. So he might scheme and shut down Randy Moss. That's not, you know, I wasn't trying to make the point that Randy would have gotten off. But I'm saying with the way that this particular game went down, he could have helped them a lot more than what they had out there. I'm not saying that Rex Ryan wouldn't have changed his scheme had Randy been out there. I'm not saying that he wouldn't have shut Randy Moss down. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying how the particular game went down that we watched the other day, it would have been a different game had they used the exact same scheme with Randy Moss.
No, I hear you. I just disagree. I agree with Morris Kill. Even if they had this same scheme, he would have been a non-factor because they pretty much just backed off and put everybody in coverage. It doesn't matter if you have Randy Moss and Andre Johnson at the same time. You have to be able to run the ball. You have to be able to pound the rock on this game. I mean, that's the bottom line.
If it was that easy, Randy Moss wouldn't have had the stats that he had. I don't think it's that easy. But let's just move on to
if you look at big games in which he's played, that's what they do.
The game's coming up this weekend, the AFC and NFC Championship. Who you got, Jimmy, in the AFC, Steelers or the Jets?
I hate to go against, don't say nothing, just give it here, Roethlisberger. But I want to see the Jets win, so I'm going to say the Jets because I want to see them win.
PJ, Steelers, Jets.
I think the Steelers. I think they have too many. I just think they're more solid all the way around, so I'm going to go with the Steelers.
Yeah. You know you want to see Rex run down the sideline again?
I do, but I just don't think they got too much on their defense. Is a little bit too athletic and skilled players. Talking about
Jimmy,
the Steelers,
PJ, at this point we depending on Rex Ryan to bring it home for Jerome because the Eagles ain't gonna do it. But
I know, right?
Exactly. Kill.
I got the Steelers.
B.O.
You know what it is. Black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow, black and yellow.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Steelers myself. So on the NFC, we got, of course, the Packers going into Soldier Field to play on the mashed potatoes and gravy. PJ, who you got?
I got the Pack, man. Got the Packers.
Kill.
I'm going with the Packers. Hey, check this out. I know we didn't get a chance to pick them or go through our picks, but for the first show, I had picks ready for my Super Bowl picks, and I actually picked Green Bay and San Diego, but obviously San Diego didn't even make the playoffs. But I forgot.
So you still got one horse in the race.
Okay,
you know,
Kill.
Packers, yeah. Packers or Bears?
Oh, Packers, my bad. Packers.
Oh, my fault. You talking me?
I was talking
to
B.
Me. Oh, B. Austin. Well, B. Austin don't want to answer. I answer. Yo, I'm not betting with Jay Cutler ever in life, yo. I picked him to lose every game this season, so I will never bet with Jay Cutler.
Yeah, I'm going. Coach Lombardi said, student body left, and you got to form that seal. That seal, so you have that alley. So I'm going with the Pack.
Difficult. I want to go with the Pack. I kind of think that their lucky run might be up. I'm gonna go with the Bears. Actually, I'm a root for the Pack though, because if the Packers win the Super Bowl, then it makes the Eagles look better. So,
yeah,
you know, real quick,
if the
Bears do win, you don't even have to ask me next week about the bowl, because y'all will never bet with Jay Cutler ever.
Right.
You don't know his
so
sugar
look,
intake.
We're gonna have Jimmy take us into this listener's choice. If you guys don't know. We always take suggestions, recommendations for topics from our listeners. So if you want to do that, you can go to our website at warroomsports.com, click on the Contact Us page, and you can fill out a form if you have any pressing topics in sports that you'd like us to talk about. So today's listener's choice is from a listener of ours, Zarifa Madyun. She was also the Pigskin Pick'em winner. So Jimmy's going to let you know what she chose for us today, and we're going to get right into that topic.
Yes, sir. The topic this week is mental health in sports. What we're going to do is discuss the variables that contribute to mental health problems in high-level athletes and get you guys to weigh in and also let us know what you think about it. So you can go in the chat room or you can call us and give us your opinion on why you think this exists, and also some athletes if you want to talk about any particular athletes. So I'm just going
to
open up the
I'd like to explain something. You know, I ain't punchy. I got what you call, like, I don't know, a relaxed brain, but I ain't punchy.
Shout out to the greatest boxer of all time who, you know, we're going to call it the Rocky Balboa segment.
My man said I got a relaxed brain.
Yo, shout out to my man Rocky and all the Asian people that stand around and take pictures all day long in front of his statue. Anyway, yo, let's just open it up and see what you guys think about why this happens, because in every sport you can pretty much think of someone who suffers, and I'm not even saying this jokingly, I'm talking seriously, from mental health problems. Go ahead, Death.
Look, well, you know, when we talked about this before, because, yeah, people, we actually talk off the air. When we spoke about this before, we kind of brought up a lot of the variables that may contribute to it, like Jimmy alluded to earlier. And, you know, we came up with things like the great expectations as far as performance is concerned, media attention, dependence. You know, you got your family, friends, and hangers-on. And the biggest factor, I think, that plays a part into the mental health of these athletes is the money, because a lot of athletes, professional athletes in particular, aren't used to the kind of money that they receive once they become professional athletes. And, you know, how they say the money is the root of all evil. It might also be like the root of all retardation. But people get money and just forget how to act. What y'all think about that?
Yeah. I mean, that's part of it. I think that a lot of these athletes have suffered from these kind of issues their entire life, but because they're uber athletes, it's always looked past.
Not that it's the same thing, but do you guys remember Dexter Manley becoming a professional football player and the homie couldn't read?
Couldn't read, yeah. So how do you get to that point?
Yo, how do you get all the way to that point? Yeah, because you were somebody's meal ticket. How do you get to the point where you're out of – yo, he went to college.
Yeah.
He talks like Shannon Sharp.
Shannon Sharp talks like slavery still is going on right now today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I just think that, you know, money isn't the main issue, but, I mean, it definitely plays a part because it plays a part with your stress levels because when money becomes involved, then you got a lot of new family members, a lot of new friends, you got a lot of new girls. Everything and everyone is tugging on
it. It's a very subjective topic because there are a number of reasons that can contribute to someone's mental wellness, and I'm hearing both of y'all, Jimmy and Deb. I think that there are definitely seeds in a person's personality or mental that is there from the time they're born genetically that contribute, and if you're not balanced. You know, if you've got something tugging on you, it's going to pull you over the edge, and there you have it. You know, even looking at the case of Ron Artest, if you know his story, you know, him dealing with the pressures and coping with being a professional athlete, the money he was making, the number of people he felt obliged to support, the things that he had to go through just pushed him. He didn't have balance. He didn't have a baseline, a foundation to stand on. So it was easy for him to be pulled one with to and fro, and he lost his balance.
Yeah, dude had to feed the whole Queensbridge project.
But, yo, what about Mike Tyson, yo?
There was a time when Ron Artest, I'm not sure if this was a rumor or not, if it was ever confirmed, but it was a story. It was actually out there. But, like, between his rookie year and his, you know, his second year in the league, he took a job at, like, Best Buy or something in the off season.
Yeah, I remember that.
For why?
Okay, for why, though?
What was he got mental health problems. I don't know. Some people would look at that as being responsible. Like, you know, he was padding his income. Go ahead, PJ.
Yeah, I was it's funny because I think it's like just in normal life, there are a lot of people that we, you know, come across that have mental health issues, even from the times we were in school. And I think a lot of times with these athletes, they actually have the athletic talent that allows that to be swept under the rug. Because like somebody mentioned, it's either that they're going to be a meal ticket, and then once they get, you know, so they just continue to push them along like Dexter Manley. I mean, he couldn't read. So how did he even, like, you know, how did he pass? What grade did he get on the Wonderlic test if they still had that back then? I mean, if they had that back then, and he can't even read the questions. But it's interesting, and I think that's unfortunate because they want to push these guys so fast because a lot of times the socioeconomic situation that they're coming out of, they're looking at it like, man, I just got to get to a point where I can, like, support my family, support my mom, my sisters, my brothers, whoever, my town, my city. You know, so they have a lot on their shoulders. So I think they look at that as like, man, I'll learn how to read. I'll get a degree. I'll get my mental, you know, in order. But I just got to get this money. And then once they get the money without having the stability in the mentality, it just becomes a Dennis Rodman situation.
Right.
TJ, we laughed at what you just said because it was funny. But think about that for a second. Someone pushed this young man all the way through school, college, and even the draft, because you know how intense the draft is in testing not only your physical but your mental, with tests like the Wonderlic and the private interviews all the way to getting drafted in the first or second round. So how many people overlook the fact that this dude couldn't read, couldn't think?
Yeah, but that's a good question because problems like Vince Young has. You know, Vince Young, he seemed to have never grown up. And, you know, there was a point in his career where there were rumors that he was contemplating suicide. So, I think you guys are saying, these guys are used to being coddled. So at the first little point of, I don't know, the Constant. First little point of turbulence, these people are, they don't know how to handle it. And they're ready
despondent.
To go off the deep end.
They become despondent.
Let me ask.
let me add, Brad. I wanted to say I took down some information, and even let's look at the NFL. In NFL or just football in general, you know, shout out to Dr. Daniel Amen, who wrote Change Your Brain, Change Your Life. Andre Waters,
yeah.
NFL player, suicide. Warren Thomas, University of Penn, football player, suicide. Chris Benoit, wrestler, suicide. Terry Bradshaw, he dealt with depression. Ricky Williams, you know, we all know his problems. Barrett Robbins, bipolar, and tripped out before the Super Bowl. And Vince Young. And these are the people that have actually come out or through their actions have showed something was wrong. And, you know, mental health in sports is still taboo. Now, in football, there's something that's going on called chronic traumatic encephalopathy. And so they call it CTE. They call it CTE. It's basically all that trauma is just shaking your brain. Then it gets to a point where a lot of times these guys retire or while they're playing, this happens in wrestling as well, that they just lose it. Then you've had stars like Barbara Bush, Halle Berry, Winston Churchill, Michael Jackson, WNBA players, Nikki Teasley, Shanika Holdsclaw dealt with depression, Dennis Rodman. You notice Dennis Rodman started tripping out right after his divorce. Then you had Olympian Pickaboo Street. And last but not least, colleges. Ohio State said 15 to 20% of their student athletes are dealing with some type of mental health issues.
Damn.
That's
crazy. My man Dr. Bayon did his homework. I got to ask you guys a question about one particular athlete that people kept telling me when I brought up this topic.
Mike, were you really sick this week? What was the problem?
I broke my back.
What do you mean by that? Your
back is broken.
What, a vertebrae or what portion?
Spinal.
Yo. You got to have some mental problems to say some of the stuff Mike Tyson has said on the microphone.
Mike said he broke his back. Yo.
Real quick. Speaking of, you know, I just want to let our audience know that on February 10th, we're going to have a Mike Tyson show. The whole show is going to be all about Mike Tyson, so you don't want to miss that. Tune in. And if you want to call in real quick and get something off your chest about this topic, hit us at 323-410-0012. Just press 1 and we'll try to get to you. We got a call on the line now, and we're going to see what Roby in Baltimore would like to say about the topic. Roby, you're in the war room. What's up?
What's up, guys?
What's going on? You
What's
called
up,
us for real,
Roby.
Hey, I just want to say something real quick about the mental health issues. I think a lot of these athletes have mental health issues and diagnoses, you know, far before they get, you know, become professionals. Like when they're amateurs, they have a lot of handlers. Like when they're in high school and college, they have people handling them, calling them, sweeping things under the rug. So it's not as prevalent. People don't see kind of the kind of symptoms of the mental health disorders. But once they become professional, they're like, they have all this money. Everyone who's riding their coattails is not trying to keep it under wraps anymore because, look, we made it. We rich now. So they kind of let them go and let them, you know, just they're no longer medicated. Then nothing else is getting done. They're rich. They don't have to do anything else, you know. And then it kind of spirals out of control because they've gotten to, I guess, the pinnacle where they were trying to get. No one's handling them anymore, and they completely lose their mind. So it seems like when they become professional and, you know, get the big money, people lose their mind. I think they pretty much lost their mind a long time before. It was, like, maybe treated or kind of handled it a little different. But once they, you know, become rich and have all this money, people aren't really concerned about that part anymore. They're just worried about, okay, we finally made it. We have all this money. And then the mental health kind of falls to the wayside.
Right. That's
man,
a really,
great,
really
great,
point.
Great points, Roby. Great points, Roby.
Thanks for your call, Roby.
No problem. Bye-bye.
Yeah, I think she made some really, really good points because, you know, one of you guys said that earlier. Like, you know, some of this stuff has been going on since birth, but I guess we're all in agreement here that a lot of the coddling that goes on when people know or have a feeling that an athlete could possibly make it to the big time, and it hides their problems. Like who knew before he got to the NBA that Eddie Griffin was having all those problems from a Roman Catholic? You know, he got into the league, and he was diagnosed with depression. And, you know, even the day he died, he was drunk and he ran across some train tracks where the railing came down, but he kind of ignored it, you know, and his alcohol level was off the charts. So it's like, you know, you never know what these people are dealing with on an everyday basis because as fans, you know, we just look at them as millionaires, and everything they do, we tell them, stop being spoiled brat millionaires. You don't have any problems. But money doesn't cure every problem. Money actually probably makes problems more prevalent in your life.
More money, more problems.
Exactly.
I also wanted to touch on this. I think that it's very important that we say this to our listeners.
All right. I think we have a problem.
Is that what we supposed to say to him, yo? Yo. But, yo, I really want to know. Go ahead.
He just fainted. Go ahead, Jim.
No, I was just going to say it's funny. Just like Dev was saying, a lot of people say, like, you hear of somebody being depressed that's a professional athlete, and you hear people who aren't athletes looking in be like, man, how could you be depressed? Like, you're a millionaire. You're in your early 20s. You're doing something that millions of people want to do that don't have the opportunity or nor are blessed with the talent to do. And we always look at it as money being the almost like a savior to suppress problems and real-world issues. But at the end of the day, money really doesn't – and that's something that my mom always used to say, because I used to talk about wanting to be rich and have money and how if I had money – when I was young. Now I'm much more smarter and more intelligent than to know something stupid like that. But she always used to tell me, like, yo, money does not change anything in regards to problems that you have. You might be able to pay your bills on time, but the issues and the real problems that you have, money cannot solve. And the bad part about it is, like y'all, like Jimmy said and Dev said earlier in earlier shows, these dudes now with social media can reach the masses of the world within, you know, 15, 20 seconds, still having the mental issues, having, you know, thousands of followers, and who knows what kind of stuff that they're putting out there. So it's just it's a compounding problem almost.
Yo, y'all remember Leon Smith? Hey, y'all remember Leon Smith?
Who
got drafted out of high school?
Who?
Hello?
Who?
Y'all remember Leon Smith, who was drafted by the Spurs and then traded to Dallas, and then it says he was diagnosed with depression after slathering green paint on his face. He threw a rock at a car, then swallowed 250 aspirin in an apparent suicide attempt, and never played for Dallas or the NBA again. And then Pat LaFontaine, former NHL All-Star, suffered a nasty concussion in 1996, and then overnight said he lost all significance in hockey, and he didn't want to play anymore. Then he went to the Mayo Clinic and got diagnosed with depression as the result of post-concussion syndrome.
Damn! Mm. Yo.
Wow.
I mean, the number of athletes is, like, you know, through the roof. Like, Joey Votto, that plays for the Reds, he went through the same thing when his father passed. Homie Street, like, stopped playing for a while. But, you know, he worked his way back and just won MVP again, so shout out to him. But I think a lot of times is these athletes have this whole personality where they're macho and they don't want to admit to having certain problems and getting certain help, and, it just goes unnoticed sometimes. So a lot of times it's not because of people coddling them. I mean, that plays a part in it, but it's also a part of I'm this athlete, so, you know, I'm not supposed to have these problems. But, you know, sort of like what you said, PJ. You think that everybody wants to do it. You have this whole feeling like I'm not supposed to have these problems, so I'm not going to like get any help for it.
I'm not even going to admit I have it. Yeah,
the grocery line just brought up another one. Remember Demetrius Underwood and I'm friends with his family and you know, dude had a problem. But I mean, that's just crazy. Yeah. But that's a major situation where they don't want to admit to it, which is why Ron Artest came to a lot of people's mind, because he had no problem talking about his situation.
Right.
And talking about his therapist. Like, you know, he's trying to do something about it. He's trying to do something about it. Go ahead.
Yeah, he thanked his therapist right after the NBA final.
That's one of his biggest charities now, is the mental health issues. One of the mental health charities that he reaches out to. And
that's what was so crazy about that, is because he admitted to it. When I guarantee you, like, yo, if you look through the NBA, there's a lot of cats that, you know, are dealing with issues that won't admit it. I mean, it's just like your man Amici waited until he got out of the league to admit that he was a princess boy. And I guarantee you there's other princess boys in the league right now, but they're not going to admit to it.
Yeah. Yo, I think Dennis Rodman is a princess boy. He's fighting the urge to let it out, but he couldn't really do it. And that's why you see him dressing up as a woman every time you turn around. He went through that stage where he kept dressing in drag. Any man that continues to dress like a woman wants to be a woman.
I,
I think Dennis Rodman let it out. He just ain't say it with his mouth. But the dude,
yeah,
I mean, like you said, he
was in drag all the time.
Yeah.
He used to wear cocktail dresses around with lipstick on and a wig and a cocktail dress, and he's 6'10", looking nasty. But I think my man T.O., y'all know my man T.O. is my man 50 grand, but I'd be the first to tell you, I think my man got a chemical imbalance in his brain. Because just some of the things that he said, some of the things that he's done, now they haven't been too crazy.
It's really
fair.
I'm a quarterback. If you guys do that, man, it's unfair. We lost as a team. We lost as a team, man.
Yeah.
So, I mean, some of the stuff
is actually T.O. has actually sought counseling for some
really?
Of his, some of his. Well, I mean, it depends on how you perceive counseling, too. I mean, his relationship counseling really went into the underlying history of his family and his experiences, his how his grandmother treated him, his mother and father's relationship. All of those things, we don't think about that necessarily as a mental health thing, but what else is it? Mental and emotional.
Right.
So, you know, he definitely has some issues.
Well, I got a question.
Right.
Heem said towards the war room post about mental health. He said he works with a second grade boy that wants a coochie. He wants to actually be a woman. It's crazy.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow.
He said he wants a coochie.
No, he wants to have one. Like, he doesn't want to take it. He wants to have one instead of...
He wants to have one. Dang it. He don't like to stand up and go to the bathroom. He want to sit down and pee, huh? Wow.
Hey,
yeah.
Hey, listen, bro, I got a question about somebody. And I know Akil and B. Austin has actually played ball with this dude before. And y'all brought him up in a prior show and said how quiet he was. But what do you... I mean, none of us are psychiatrists or, you know... But what do you make of...
What do you make of
this type of problems where he's riding around on a motorcycle with a bunch of guns and guitar cases and stuff like that, and then, you know, his whole episode with LeBron's mama?
It's funny that you mention him and bring him up because, you know, both Akil and I have had an opportunity to come in contact with him, not outside of the realm of basketball, but we've basically seen him grow up, you know, and he's always been very, very quiet and very, very much a loner. So to see his personality kind of flourish in the NBA, it's like whenever he comes out of his shell, I always wonder whether it's due to some level of self-medication, meaning he's bending his elbow or, you know, puff, puff, pass, and some, because it doesn't come off as really being him. Dude is very, very, very introverted. Very introverted, and so all of the things that he does is like a lash out for attention. All of the tattoos, all of the girls, all of the, because that's not really him. So
right.
I definitely
now he's on YouTube in the parking lot of KFC freestyling about chicken. and check on Marbury on YouTube eating Vaseline. Like, what's wrong?
Yeah,
are
you
cracking
up
the pressure pizza?
I think it is. Go ahead, Jim. Go ahead.
Wait, no, I was going to ask B. Austin, since he has come in contact with him, was that really his personality when he was getting at LeBron's mom and tearing up the Uchiwali? was that him, or was that, like, you know, part of his chemical imbalance?
That was.
I'm gonna go in a different direction than my normal, because normal I take you up on that joke and run with it. But I'm gonna say this. Is it possible that in LeBron's mom, we had an older woman that was taking advantage of a young pup who was just open to, you know what I'm saying, what she had to give in terms of the mental and emotional stimulation, and then it led to a physical, her being a mature.
That's an interesting perspective.
He might have got cougared. He got captured by
a cougar. Right. He got captured by an aggressive cougar. Took advantage of. He might have been taken advantage of.
What do you guys think of a guy like Milton Bradley, the baseball player, besides his name being, you know, synonymous with board games? Like, his problems, do you look at them as mental health problems, or does dude just have rage problems, or is it the same thing?
I think
it's the same thing.
I think his anger management is one form of a mental health problem. Like, you figure under the umbrella of mental health issues, there are probably several that fit. You know, you can probably categorize the different types of problems. And I think his is straight up anger management, because he just say anything you want. He gets mad. He goes from 0 to 100 very quickly in terms of his anger. At that point, he says anything.
He's like a rageaholic.
Didn't he tear his ACL one time?
He tore his ACL going after the ump. I was actually watching that game live. Now, the umpire in this situation, I forgot what the situation was, but the umpire was dead wrong in whatever he did. But, of course, Milton Bradley being Milton Bradley, he was going to go after the game. So he goes after the ump, twists his ACL, tears it, and he's out for the season. Like, how stupid is that? Like,
I know he's really mad.
Yeah, exactly. How mad was he sitting there?
Delonte West, he was diagnosed with a mood disorder and depression. And like Brad was saying, it's kind of like, okay, he gets into a fight with Von Wafer. Is that him? Okay, he's quote unquote popping off LeBron's mom. Is that him? Okay, he's caught riding a bike with a bunch of guns. Is that him? Okay, then KFC rapping, talking about chicken. So it's like, with a real Delonte West, please stand up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he's more than bipolar. My man, like, tripolar.
In high school, I'm telling you, dude was quiet as a church mouse, so much so to the point you can imagine, you know, being in the gym, we playing ball, his talent level is light years ahead of everybody else, even in high school. He making dudes fall, and he's, like, emotionless. He got the retarded face like Flip. He got that blank stare that Flip has after he get done doing something. Like, he's just quiet. And so then to see him now, it's like,
I'm not co-signing on no retarded jokes because I haven't had kids yet. So I'm gonna refrain from any comment on the retarded jokes.
Man, I done said so many jokes. I'm gonna have an alien to have a kid. I'm already ready for that, bracing yourself. Yeah. I just talked about people too much.
Shout out to 50 West, aka Delonte West. Yo, shout out to him, because my man's still getting a nice little check, even though he really ain't played this year.
So check it out real quick. He ain't that crazy.
This
dude is not an athlete, but he's getting a lot of acclaim because of his apparent mental health issues. Somebody that we always poke fun at, 50 Tyson. He ain't no star, but his obvious mental health issue is what's made him a star.
Let's give him a shout out.
Yeah, you might see me all blue, all red, every day. I'm 50 Tyson.
He went from making videos with his camera phone in his bathroom. Now he has real videos out.
Exactly.
Everybody. That's our show for tonight. Jimmy going to take us out in a minute. We just want to apologize real quick for all the technical difficulties we were having tonight. We got to see what's up with the radio station on that. We might have to.
Shout out to the haters. We don't wish you success, but we do want you to succeed.
Yo, I got it, you guys. We'd like to thank everybody once again for joining us in the War Room this evening. We hope you enjoyed the show. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to your favorite Marshall Faulkin sports talk show. We'll discuss the results from the NFL Conference Championships, look ahead to the bowl, catch up with the NBA and see what's popping over there. Also, we'll talk about NHL All-Star Weekend. That's right, hockey. We'll have Andrew Gross. He covers the New York Rangers for the Record and Herald News in North Jersey. And then we're going to break out our best ever segment, and we're going to talk about the greatest quarterback of all time. And no, we don't agree, so it'll be some screaming, so don't miss it, because you know it's going to be crazy. So until next week, everybody, we'll holler.
Holler. Holler.
Holler.